Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. When you hear that bell, you know it's time to get your Bible and turn now to Luke chapter 18, because we're going to be studying from those first few verses in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 14. As we study this subject, the Spirit of Prayer. This is a Sunday school lesson that was written initially for the Sunday of February 11th, 1923, by E.A. Elam. Before we get into that lesson, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's turn to our text today, Luke chapter 18. And verse 1, in talking about Jesus, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint." The first parable of this lesson is that of the unrighteous judge and the importunate widow. Jesus spoke this to his disciples. He spoke it to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. Amid their trials, and in view of the seeming delay of Christ's second coming mentioned in the last verse of the previous chapter, Christ's disciples should not become discouraged and dejected, but should continue to trust God and pray. On continuance and preservation in prayer, we read in Romans 12 and verse 12, "Continue steadfastly in prayer." And in Ephesians 6, in verse 18, "With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for the saints." Now Luke 18 in verse 2 says that Jesus said, "There was in a city a certain judge who feared not God and regarded not man." Now, a judge who feared not God and regarded not man was an unrighteous and dishonorable one. The fact that God, the supreme judge, will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, Ecclesiastes 12:13, had no influence on him. Such judges then frequently delayed decisions, hoping to receive bribes. We read about a judge like that in the book of Acts. Remember Felix? He hoped withal that money would be given him of Paul. Wherefore also he sent for him the oftener to commune with him. Acts 24 and verse 26. But we read in Luke 18 and verse 3 that there was a widow in that city, and she came oft him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." Widows, especially among heathens, were helpless, independent. God declares himself a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows, Psalm 68 and verse 5. God has always made provision for the care and protection of widows. This was done in the law of Moses. In Deuteronomy 14 and verse 29 we read, "The fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in all the work which thy hand doest." We read in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 17 through 21, "Thou shalt not wrest the justice due to the sojourner, or to the fatherless, or take the widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and Jehovah thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou reapest thy harvest in the field, and hast forgot a sheath in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the sojourner,
for the fatherless, and for the widow, that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it after thee. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow. God has always made provisions for the care and protection of widows. This is called pure religion and undefiled before God our Father. It is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1 and verse 17. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 3, Paul wrote to Timothy about the church there at Ephesus and what they needed to do. And Paul said, "Honor the widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow hath children or grandchildren, let them first learn to shun piety toward their own family, and to quiet their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate hath her hope set on God, and continueth in supplications and prayers day and night. But she that giveth herself to pleasure is dead while she liveth. These things also command, that they may be without reproach. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let none be enrolled as a widow under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she hath brought up children, if she hath used hospitality to strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. But younger widows refuse, for when they have waxed wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation, because they have rejected their first pledge, and withal they learn also to be idle, going about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion for the adversary for reviling, for already some are turned aside after Satan. If any woman that believeth hath widows, let her relieve them, and let not the church be burdened, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." This is a strong parable that Jesus is telling us, because of the unrighteousness of the judge on one hand, and the insignificant and lack of influence of the widow on the other. One of the main points in the parable is that this widow came oft unto the judge, "Avenge me of mine adversary." This woman had an adversary who had wronged her, and she asked redress at the hands of this judge, whose business it was to see that all, even a poor widow, received justice. God commanded that judges and all officers should deal justly with all, and he condemns respect of persons. "Thou shalt not wrest the justice due to thy poor in his cause." Exodus 23 and verse 6. "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. Ye shall hear the small and the great alike. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's." Deuteronomy 1 and verse 17. "And so, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, and thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor." Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 16. In Deuteronomy 16 and verse 19, we read, "Thou shalt not wrest justice, thou shalt not respect persons, neither shalt thou take a bribe. For a bribe doth blind the eyes of the wise, and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. that thou mayest live and inherit the land which Jehovah thy God giveth thee. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 17, thou shalt not wrest the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, nor take the widow's raiment to pledge. And then we are not to be afraid of the face of man. To be afraid of the face of man is to be a cringing, crawling, craving coward. The church needs men who fear God and who do right and who are not afraid of this world. We read in Luke chapter 18 and verse 4, he would not, this judge, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubled me, I will avenge her. Yes, she wear her out by her continual coming. This judge regarded neither the law of God nor the rights of man. It is impossible to conceive of a more unjust and unfaithful public officer. Such a man is selfish and base. For a while he refused to take action in this widow's case. And it was not for the sake of right and justice. But at last he did avenge her. But through his own selfishness, because she troubled him, and lest by her continual coming, she wear him out. Let's talk about importunity in prayer. We read in Luke chapter 18, verses 6 and 7, and the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge saith, and shall not God avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night, and yet he is long-suffering over them? Jesus gives the application of this parable. Hear what the unjust judge saith. If an unjust, selfish, hard-hearted judge can be moved by the repeated entreaties of a widow, shall not God, who is just and righteous, tender and merciful, forbearing and forgiving, avenge his elect that cry unto him day and night? The widow's repeated entreaties represent importunity and persistence in prayer. God's elect should not faint or become weary in well-doing, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, but in faith should continue steadfastly in prayer, Acts 2 and verse 42 and Romans 12 and verse 12, and pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. And yet he is long-suffering over them, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And we read there an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. God is long-suffering over his elect for their good and toward their persecutors in order to lead even the persecutors to repentance. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to youward, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The margin gives it as follows, and he is slow to punish on their behalf. Let's talk a little bit about the lack of faith. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, Jesus said, I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus declares that God will avenge his elect speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? God's elect should serve him in faith and patience, calling upon him in submissive trust day and night, believing that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 6 and verse 11. The coming of the Son of Man was declared in the last verse of the previous chapter. And here, Jesus refers to it again. Notwithstanding all God has done in the past for his elect and what Jesus has done and is doing now, Jesus raises the question, will he find faith on the earth when he comes?